Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Should Utah be considered the fraud capital of the United States? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was an interesting article in the Deseret News newspaper on April 30th, 2019, and the title was, Does Utah Deserve the Title Fraud Capital of the United States? Now, Eric, we've talked about this subject in the past, and we had a whole series dealing with what's known as affinity fraud. And this is, of course, a scam that's perpetrated on people who have a trust in the individual and trust them enough to give them money to invest on their behalf, only to find out later on that the investment was not good.
Well, we talked about this in 2016. It's titled Affinity Fraud in Utah. That's from July 25th to 29. And that's found in an article that we have on our website called Utah, The Gullible and Their Money Being Soon Parted. You can go on to our website, mrm.org/Ponzi Scheme, P-O-N-Z-I hyphen scheme, and you can hear that series. You can see the research that we've done, and we've actually followed a number of Ponzi schemes that have taken place in the last decade.
Well, since you brought up the name Ponzi, we should probably explain how it got that name. It's named after a man by the name of Carlo Ponzi. It's quite a long name. Carlo Pietro Giovanni Guglielmo Tebaldo Ponzi. But anyway, he lived from 1882 to 1949, and he was involved in a huge racket that was going on in North America where $20 million were lost in the 1920s. So you can probably multiply that by about 10, and that would give you an idea of what it would be worth in today's dollars. He was eventually deported and died in poverty, from what I understand. But that's where the name comes from. And it's basically, it's an investment fraud. And I'm reading from the United States Securities and Exchange Commission website, where it explains what a Ponzi scheme is. A Ponzi scheme is an investment fraud that involves the payment of purported returns to existing investors from funds contributed by new investors. Ponzi scheme organizers often solicit new investors by promising to invest funds in opportunities claimed to generate high returns with little or no risk. In many Ponzi schemes, the fraudsters focus on attracting new money to make promised payments to earlier stage investors to create the false appearance that investors are profiting from a legitimate business. And of course, in modern times, Bernie Madoff would probably be the champion of the Ponzi schemes. And people lost billions with Bernie Madoff.
And what ends up happening in a basic idea is that somebody would collect the money from different people based on some kind of an investment strategy or whatever else that's not really there. So then they promise these huge returns to people who would invest this money, their retirement money or whatever else, and that money comes in. And so for the people who are early in, they're going to get paid off their 15% a month or whatever it was promised. And so they're telling all their friends, this is easy money. Well, when there's no substance behind the investment idea, then it's going to eventually fall apart. And that's what ends up happening. And people lose millions of dollars sometimes if they've invested everything because it was easy money.
But the question is why is Utah always mentioned when it comes to this kind of scam? I mean, you get calls all the time. I get calls all the time. Many of them are robocalls wanting to sell us some kind of a product or want to work on our computer. But we get these calls all the time. But Utah seems to be susceptible to this. And this is what this article is bringing up. And this is why we want to talk about it again. This is one more time. This has hit our newspapers. And it involves the state of Utah. So obviously, what is the problem that is facing Utahns right now? And why is Utah more susceptible to this kind of a scam? I think those are some legitimate questions. Does it have anything to do with the religious background of this state? Because if there's one thing that is pretty predominant in the state of Utah, it is the religion. The majority religion, of course, is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Does that have anything to do with this? And this article does touch on that.
It gives a whole new meaning to Utah. This is the place. And it's a place where fraud is taking place. So the article starts off this way. Utah has a long-held reputation as the fraud capital of the United States, mostly based on anecdotal evidence.
Now, let me stop you there. That seems like an interesting opening line. And by the way, the author of this piece is Dennis Romboy, who's a writer for the Deseret News. When he says mostly based on anecdotal evidence, well, anecdotal basically has to do with a casual observance, something you may have heard or something you could have even seen, but not rigorous research or rigorous analysis. And I found that opening line to be a little bit odd because Dennis Romboy is going to show that there is a lot of rigorous research that has been done that shows that Utah really does deserve that dubious distinction.
It continues, but a nationwide Ponzi scheme database that Florida attorney Jordan Maglich compiled offers proof that the ignominious label appears deserved. Utah had the 6th most Ponzi schemes among all states from 2008 to 2018, despite ranking 31st in population, according to this one website. Only California, Florida, New York, Texas, and Illinois in that order had more. When Salt Lake attorney Mark Pugsley ran a per capita analysis of the numbers, Utah topped the list for the most Ponzi schemes, and it's not even close. Pugsley found Utah had 1.35 Ponzi schemes per 100,000 people. Florida is the next highest state at 0.51 per 100,000 people, nearly two-thirds lower. That's an astounding number, Bill.
That is pretty fantastic. 1.35 Ponzi schemes per 100,000 people. Then comes Florida, the next highest with 0.51, and a considerable drop when you look at it.
And you would imagine that would be true because so many elderly people live in Florida. You have Medicare kinds of frauds and other things going on, and so many older people are trusting people. We don't have as many old people perhaps in Utah, but we do have a lot of trusting people here, apparently.
The next line I found interesting, it's a question, and it's by Pugsley. He says, "This is a question people have been asking for a long time. Is Utah really that bad?" he said. His response, "This, for the first time, gives us some quantifiable basis to say, yes, we are that bad. Not only are we bad, but we're way worse than anyone else by a long shot." Now, folks, let's again look at the context. He's not saying that Utah people are bad people. It's just that when it comes to these statistics, we look pretty bad from the state of Utah. And that's what he's talking about. It goes on in this piece to say, overall, Utah investors lost over $1.5 billion, that's with a B, in those scams over those 10 years.
You could have built a City Creek out of that. I mean, that's a lot of money.
We should explain what City Creek is.
Yes.
Because if you're not living in Salt Lake City, you may not be aware of that. City Creek is a huge shopping complex south of Temple Square, owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's a huge investment.
The article goes on and says the number does not include other affinity frauds and investment scams, which Pugsley estimates account for another $500 million in losses to Utah residents. Let me say that again. $1.5 billion plus another $500 million. You're talking over the past decade, Utahns have lost $2 billion of their hard-earned money.
And then the next line mentions Bernie Madoff that I talked about earlier. Also, removing the massive $17 billion, with a B, Bernie Madoff scam in New York, Utah has the highest loss per capita of $502 per person, more than double the next highest state. Including Madoff pushes the per capita loss in New York to $1,093. So this is a very serious problem, and why would you think that would be a problem in the state of Utah? Now, we know that in evangelical circles, we have a problem with the prosperity message. That false doctrine seduces a lot of professing Christians When I was in Africa, I saw that that was a problem over there. But it's not just in Africa. It's a problem here in the United States. Why do you think that kind of message would appeal to people considerably religious? Especially since when we understand what the Bible has to say about greed and lust, you would think that Christians, and in this case, I would even say Latter-day Saints, would not be as susceptible to this problem, but apparently that is not the case. It should not be the case, but it is. Why? Why do these professing Christians, why do these professing Latter-day Saints fall for these kind of scams, whether it's financial or even spiritual? And of course, in the spiritual, the ultimate gain is to get something financial. Why would that be?
It depends on how you're going to go about getting information. And with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the missionaries are pushing the reading of the Book of Mormon for people who may even call themselves Christians to read the Book of Mormon. And at the very end of the Book of Mormon is the Book of Moroni, chapter 10. And it says that we're supposed to pray about it if we're sincere and really want it to happen. It's going to be known as being true. Well, if you take that with your religion and pray about something, and that's the way that you get truth, then wouldn't you want to use that same kind of formula when a friend comes to you and says, hey, I've got this great investment opportunity. It's making 10% a month. All you have to do is invest your money. And you do invest $10,000 and you get this check for $1,000, you know, the next month. And you're going, my goodness, this is amazing. I just made 10% of my money. Well, you give all your money over. You're not basing it on any kind of research. You're basing it on your relationship with the person that maybe you trust. And with perhaps prayer, you have prayed about it and you received a good feeling that this is a good investment. And it turns out to be the worst thing you could have ever done with your money.
Though prayer certainly should be a part of everyday life, it's not meant to be the do-all. Okay, I prayed about it. I've got a feeling, so that's where I run with it. No, you shouldn't do that. A lot of people look at prayer as being utilized in such a way, but that's really an abuse of prayer. When we look at Proverbs 14:12, for instance, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Certainly, this is a warning against subjective feelings. So much so that that very same verse out of Proverbs 14:12 is repeated again, word for word, in Proverbs 16:25. So you would think the fact that it's mentioned twice like that, that God has a message for us as his people. Be very careful about subjective feelings. Do your homework. Look into these things. And as you said, Eric, when people put their trust in individuals who they think are trustworthy, why do you think they're trustworthy? Is it because of a feeling or is it because of the evidence? Tomorrow, we're going to continue talking about this subject because, as I mentioned, the Mormon element comes into this article later on.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book, available at your favorite Christian bookstore.